For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Are you concerned about Myles Garrett? I know he had a day last week. I don't remember if it was Thursday or Wednesday. Where he did not practice before the game against Jacksonville, and he was still, obviously, Myles Garrett when Sunday rolled around. But is this something that worries you?
Yeah. Because, you know, listen, to me, I think we put Myles in this own thing. I think Denzel deserves to be in that category in terms of impact. I think JOK is just under that level of impact. Like, I think those are your three most impactful players on defense. Sure. And if any one of those three guys missed time, it should be treated with concern. Myles is clearly your best player.
Right. There's no doubt about that. But it does worry me that this early in the season, we're talking about something with him. I expect as the year goes on, you're going to see days off for guys because they need to take care of their bodies. And this is a long, grueling season. But the fact that it's still September and we're talking about Myles Garrett being on the injury report on a weekly basis is concerning.
Well, especially a foot injury that they say, well, he's just going to deal with it.
Right.
Okay, does that mean it's not going to get better? Like the context of he's just going to deal with it doesn't really belie any sort of faith or comfort that this is going to work itself out through the season.
Right, like we don't know if this is something that is going to get better. We don't know if it's something that's going to get worse. We don't know if it's just a pain tolerance thing. This is an injury that I think for the most part, Nick, is pretty shrouded in mystery.
Now, speaking of shrouded in mystery, Amari Cooper's first 2 weeks have been shrouded in drops and
bad football.
I like that. Just bad football. Well, Amari, to his credit, and I will say this is probably one of my favorite things about Amari. He's one of the guys that does talk.
Mm-hmm.
Whether any of this is team friendly or whether it's not, like I like the fact that he will come out and say what is on his mind. And he did one of the questions he did answer today was on his slow start.
Yeah, just a slow start, you know, just some bumps in the road in terms of my play. But, you know, it's motivated me for sure. And, you know, I'll be back. Of course, you know, you want to go out there and play your best brand of football individually as early as possible. So definitely been frustrating. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. You know, you got to go out there and just play your game, get back focused, lock back in. And that's what I'm looking to do.
All right, honey, I wasn't the best husband, but hey. I'll lock in. I'm teasing there. That was just a really funny drop by Amari.
Hey.
Because I think that's the new yada, yada, yada. You can just yada, yada, yada your way. Like, you know what?
Hey.
Had a bad month of radio shows. Hey. it's almost Italian. It's like the hey.
It is.
Listen, I do think that 2 games is too early to make a federal case about Amari Cooper's struggles. You can't tell me, though, you're not a little bit concerned.
So I'm not concerned because of what his struggles are right now.
But I just said you can't.
But I'm doing that.
Okay.
Yes. Right. I'm going to...
That's the opposite of what I said, though.
Correct. Okay. But I'm not going to listen to what you said.
Okay.
I heard what you said, but I'm not going to listen to what you say.
Okay.
So I'm not concerned about this because if you look at what his struggles are, they have been drops where he had that pass against the Cowboys that ultimately does not change the outcome of that game. But that was the best ball I thought Deshaun Watson threw in the entirety of week one was the one down the right sideline that Amari Cooper in the hands he didn't hang on to. He had another one that was sort of like that against Jacksonville. That, to me, is not something that concerns me when you look at Amari Cooper's track record. Because as you age in the NFL at that position, you will lose a lot of things. You might lose some explosiveness. You might not be able to run routes as crisp as you once could. But you don't forget how to catch the football. And that, I think, is what has plagued Amari Cooper the most. It's not as if he's not getting open. It's not as if he's not doing a lot of things correctly. He's not catching passes. I don't think that's something that just is all of a sudden going to disappear when you reach another birthday.
Yeah, it's not about disappearing, but it you can spin this a few different ways. Because I know Amari previously has said, you know, I need to get my reps in. That's when I'm my most crisp. Which very few people have said, I'm better when I do less work. So I think we've taken that to the bank as a defense of Amari. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, because I can understand that theory of maybe Amari, okay, well then don't hold out. Like right. The whole point, sure. Again, I'm not trying to jam Amari up. It's two games. But at the same point, like if we're talking about, well, I'm just not as crisp. I'm not normally where I am. Okay, well, you held out of mandatory minicamps. You held out of pretty much the entire offseason until training camp began. So it's not the Browns' fault, and you are costing. I mean, the whole point of this is, I'm totally cool. Listen, if guys want to hold out, hold in, whatever, and to get their money, I have no problem with it until it affects on the field. In between that, the thing that I cannot discount, because I think it's fair to say, maybe get a little more work in, a little more time with Deshaun. You never know. Like, I'm not giving up on Amari. At the same point, you're a veteran, and that was a crucial catch. That catch changes that game and that drive, because you put an extra 7 on the board, which that was going to help you. You make that, you extend that play and maybe even get closer, and all of a sudden you got another 7 on the board. That takes a lot of the pressure off that offense and that defense as well. So you start, that's how the 30-point route comes into play. He catches that ball. That's where the 30-point route starts.
Sure.
So respectfully to Amari, I don't give a damn. You are the veteran. You are the $25 million man. So if you're going to hold out, cool, but you better be able to keep with it on the field. And that's my concern, is whether it's the holdout or whether it's the trade stuff. A lot of people have said, well, but Amari. Okay. We don't know Amari from Adam. We don't know, because he's been here 2.5 years.
But I also, I don't think, and nothing that what you just said is not true, but I also don't think that stuff is a reason to think he's not going to go back to being Amari Cooper. If it really is for him.
Well, if it's attitude, you never know.
I don't think, that to me, that clip does not sound like somebody that it's an attitude problem. Mm-hmm. Amari Cooper, and I realize that he has had, you know, he had that post on his Instagram story or whatever, and I totally get that. But that to me did not sound like a guy that was unhappy. That to me did not sound like a guy who's not giving his all. It sounded to me, if he is telling the truth about needing more reps, and you mentioned that he is somebody that, in your opinion, has pretty much said what he has felt. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it really is that he needs the reps, and that this is sort of preseason for him, as we talk about it being preseason for a lot of offenses, then why would we have concern that when week 4, week 5 rolls around, Amari Cooper's not going to be what we expect Amari Cooper to be?
I mean, I can understand the benefit of the doubt, but...
And I think he's earned that. So, I do think Amari Cooper, throughout his career, his time in Cleveland, has earned that benefit.
Ooh, I don't think anybody's earned the benefit of the doubt of... if maybe this is tied to things other than just getting reps in. If you are coming off an injury, benefit of the doubt, right? If you're just struggling in general, benefit of the doubt, especially for a guy who has been a 10-year prolific wide receiver. But when it's any time it starts to approach disenfranchised or frustrated, and that impacted your readiness for the season, I think that should be one of the non-negotiables for players.
I mean, I get that too. I get that. But I'm also not going to press the panic button on Amari Cooper because of everything he's done, because of what he's accomplished, because of how he's accomplished just the style of football player that he is, because he's got 3 drop passes in 2 weeks. Like, that to me is...
Isn't it 4?
I think it's 3. But either way, like, if it's 4, it's still an overreaction, because a guy has had 2 bad weeks. I'm not going to say, you know, he did all this wrong. Does him catching that pass against the Cowboys change that game? I don't think it does. I don't think they win that game anyways. And they are 1-1 after this. Like, if he comes out and plays great this Sunday against the Giants, we go back to feeling great about Amari Cooper because of everything else he's done, and just say, okay, he had 2 bad weeks. He really did need those reps. He's got those reps now, and he looks like a Pro Bowl receiver again.
Okay, but at the same point, what if he does cost you a game? Because I think that's
when you start to talk about it, but I don't think we're there yet. And I don't think that he deserves to be talked about like someone who has cost you, when in reality he hasn't.
4 drops, because your 2 wide receivers lead the league in drops. Elijah and Amari lead the leagues in drops. Except Elijah has actually made plays this year.
Sure.
And so again, I'm willing to meet you at it is a small sample size. But I think the idea is it's not a big deal until it costs you. We don't know that it hasn't cost them.
They were not winning that Cowboys game with that catch. They were not winning that game.
But you could have ended that Jacksonville game earlier.
Sure, right? But they won that game and it didn't cost them anything.
I mean, it cost you the ability to do the thing that you haven't done consistently enough with Kevin Stefanski, which is when you have somebody on the ropes, finish him off at the moment. Instead of, well, they still won the game. Because
right.
That is a dangerous habit to get into. And I think the idea of, again, we're in agreement. 2 weeks in, I'm okay, don't love this, hadn't killed you yet. But this heats up real damn quick if it's 2 weeks from now and that loss or that drop costs you a Raiders game. Or costs you a game you should win.
When we talk about offenses being down across the league, until we stop talking about that, I don't think we can be super critical of Amari Cooper. I don't.
That has nothing to do with drops.
No, but because it's preseason for everybody. Like, he very clearly is not in rhythm. I think missing minicamp, having a different offseason probably attributes to that.
You're sugarcoating that.
What do you mean?
He chose a different offseason.
Right, but having a different one, choosing a different one, it's the same outcome. Like, you had a different one.
Well, I think it's not an act of God.
I didn't say it wasn't.
I'm just saying, like, when you leave it open to, well, he had a different offseason.
He did. He had a different offseason than what he's had in the past. That has probably contributed to this. If he is this way in the middle of October, totally different conversation. But through 2 weeks, I'm not going to be like, man, Amari Cooper really, really needs to figure out he's really cost the Browns when he hasn't.
So when it comes to league-wide struggles of offense to then give that pass to Amari, the difference is wide receivers around the NFL aren't dropping passes at the same way Amari is. And specific to Amari, this is one of the things he's supposed to do really damn well.
Right, and I expect him to do it really damn well again. It's been two bad weeks. I'm sure you can go find, in Amari Cooper's game log, you can find two more bad weeks in there consecutively.
Is it the worst we've seen from Amari in Cleveland?
Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I can't ever think of this many drops in.
No, but I also don't remember, you know, back-to-back weeks. Like, there's not that sticks out in my mind. This is a recency bias thing when you bring that up.
All right. Well,
like,
it's very well,
I could go back and see it, but I'm not dissecting some of the games he played with Jacoby Brissett when the Browns didn't have the expectations they have now the same way.
If you can't recall it, it means it probably didn't happen.
Or it didn't matter.
So I'm always looking for what's the simplest explanation.
And
the simplest explanation is the guy chose to hold out, which is fine, but now he's coming into the season and he's not ready. And so that's not tied to everybody around the NFL is down a little bit because not every great wide receiver around the NFL is dropping more passes in a way we've never seen it. So you and I meet in the middle on this. Like, absolutely, today, if you castigate the name of Amari Cooper, you've gone astray.
Yes.
But is it a concern and you should be watching this over the next few weeks? Yes. Because you've said middle of October. So we'll put it going into that Bengals game. We'll give them that grace.
I would even go by the Eagles game. I would go even earlier than that.
One week. You just won up on me. You $1 bobbed me.
You're welcome. It's about time someone did.
But with that, that holds until he loses you a game. 216-474-0092. Amari's drops, what level of concern do you have on that one? This is not quite a Donnybrook about Amari Cooper. But I will say, it's the thing we've probably disagreed with most because, like, I don't want to weaponize what Amari said because I appreciate Amari being honest about this.
Sure.
But if I am already of the camp that was, like, with the offensive line, I had concerns about the offensive line, so I was looking for it to start the season. Sure enough, I found it. With Amari, the one thing I was looking at is you had a hold in. You clearly, I mean, he said straight up, yeah, I wasn't really happy with how the holdout ended because I didn't get a multi-year extension. And then I'm not trying to put too much into an Instagram post. It was clear he did not like being included in the Ayuk leak trade that never happened. So I came into this, all right, Amari, I think you're above this. And I still hope that he is. I hope that I have, that this is just a coinkydink. It's two bad games. These bad games do happen to good players. I hope that that's the case. But with every game, there's another stone that you stack on the, is this fallout from this offseason, his choices, not my choices, not your choices, not the Browns' choices,
sure,
but his choices. And when you say something akin to, I probably need to refocus how I practice, that's maybe it's a pebble, maybe it's not a full stone, but it's certainly, if we move we're going to move one more thing to the abacus, to the side of the abacus that says, could this all be related to this offseason?
But I also do think that you should be willing to give Amari Cooper that grace, to give him a couple of more weeks. And if he, 2 weeks from now, is still playing poorly, is still dropping passes, is still looking like a shell of the Pro Bowl wide receiver that we have seen play for the Browns for the last 2 years, I think that's cause for concern. But I'm not ready to go there after 2 weeks. I understand he's not looked that great. He has not been as focused as he said, but I'm willing to give him the grace to get refocused and to get there, because I do know that talent is still there. It's not something that he's just fallen off a cliff athletically. I still think he's getting open. I just think he's dropped a couple passes.
Do you give any credence to the idea that this could be discontent from Amari?
No, I think that this is a result of discontent earlier on, but I don't think that he is saying, you know what, the Browns put me in a rough space, I don't want to perform. Because you know what Amari Cooper wants probably more than the Browns to even win this year and be part of something special? He wants a big contract this offseason. The Browns might not give it to him, but if he doesn't have a good year, no one else will either. If he has a good year, he'll get it from somebody.
He's going to get paid no matter what.
Not if he has a bad year.
Yeah.
No, not if he has a bad year over 30 years old. No,
sure,
he's not going to.
Sure is bleep. It doesn't matter. Like Kenny Britt was a 3-time offender of all a-hole of the year award. The guy had an okay-ish year, I think, in with the Rams, and the Browns jumped on him. So, the Carolina just needs somebody with a pulse at wide receiver. Carolina will pay him.
I think
there are other teams around the NFL. Go ahead, though. Sorry.
I think that was in a different era of wide receiver play, though. I think right now we have more talented wide receivers in the NFL than there have ever been at any point.
How many hit free agency this last year?
I don't know off the top of my head, but I know that teams at this point, it's easier to replace wide receivers, which is, I think, part of the reason why the Browns didn't have interest in signing Amari Cooper to a long-term deal. Because we see now, and I think a lot of this goes back to high school football, truthfully, and we don't have time to get into that, but I think that's where this starts. We see teams that they draft wide receivers that are ready to go right away. That position has become so NFL ready that you don't even have to draft great. If you just draft okay, you can find guys that can come in right away and play. Now, if you're the Browns, you've drafted poorly at that position, so it hasn't worked out. If you're other teams, you may have drafted poorly at that position, but you don't have to overpay wide receivers in free agency anymore the way that you had to 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago.
The Browns need Amari to be the best version of himself.
Yes.
And if Jerry Jeudy or Elijah Moore, if they can happenstance just be the best wide receivers you have, and Amari's still really good, well, that's the best possible scenario. At the same point, as we tick into this Giants game, and then after that it's a Raiders game, like, there are going to be diminishing returns of patience. And so I hope for Amari, because my big thing is, I don't want this to end poorly. All right? It probably will end after this season.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know the circumstances that would bring out an Amari extension. But I would hate if a guy who has been a fan favorite, because whether it is previous malcontentness, current, and I don't think he's dogging it, so I don't want to make it seem that way.
I don't either.
But this is like a waterfall. And performance is impacted by things you did 3 months ago as much as it was 3 minutes ago. This is not how I wanted to end with Amari. So I'm not panicking, but am I watching this now with an even, if I started the season watching for this, all right, how's he look? What's the consistency? Because he is such a pivotal part of this offense. I've got an even more critical eye going into the rest of September and certainly early October, because he's got to be right. You got some grace here with some teams that aren't the ilk of the guys you're going to face starting on October 13th in Philadelphia. That grace runs out October 13th.
Yeah.
216-474-0092. Real quick, let's go to Darius. Welcome to the show, Darius.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I guess.
Tyrese.
So I was 0-2. Tyrese.
Okay. I was confused at first. Yeah. All
right. We were too.
Yeah. We're all in the same boat, boss man.
Anyway, I just thought, that's one to quick and say, I still think Mari's probably a top 10, maybe even still a top 12 receiver in the league. Maybe with the drops, I'll say top 20 because, you know, first 2 weeks still kind of crucial. But I believe Amari is like Nick Chubb if he played wide receiver. You know, like at the end of the day, he's going to put his head down and work, whether it's on the field, whether it's in the weight room. But I like to say that, I mean, preseason either. I mean, he didn't play in the preseason either. We can see that gameplay, like game speed and practice speed are two completely different speeds. So, like, seeing that, that he didn't barely played in the preseason, even during the training camp, we can see, like, he need to warm up. And same with Nick Chubb when he returns. I still believe that when he returns that he need to warm up. He might not look good. We won't be saying the same thing about Nick Chubb like how we're saying to Amari. So I just like to say that, like, Amari and Nick Chubb are silent leaders of the team, and they will continue to be that silent leader.
Tyrese, we appreciate you, buddy. We appreciate your having a laugh with us there as well. Today, there are valid reasons. 2 weeks from now, they're excuses.
Yeah.
And that's how
I think that's fair.
That's how this is going
to
go.
I just think it's not I don't think it's fair to Amari. I don't think it's fair to being a Browns fan to panic.
To have expectations for your one of your five highest paid players?
To panic about two bad games.
I don't think I think there's a difference between saying this ain't it and panicking.
Well, no, I think it's fair to be disappointed, but I also think it's a little unfair to say he's washed. He's not going to be good anymore. Like, I just think that's a ridiculous path to go down.
Who said that?
You alluded to it.
When did I never called him washed.
You were worried that he wasn't the same guy.
Yeah, because of his focus and because of what happened.
That's washed to me.
That is
what
very,
I heard. It's what my ears
heard. Very slippery wizard of you.
It's what my ears
I know
heard.
You spent some time with the morning boys, but that's a little slippery wizard
it's
for me.
It's what I heard.
David, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? So, yeah, I 100% agree with Danny. So, in one way, you are alluding to it because you're already talking about how things are going to end based on what you've biased, the kind of point you're trying to get to because of some eye rolling shortly after the second game. I've just got into the car, but it's been all week, this kind of pushing it towards this sentiment of discontent. And I don't think that he's 100%, Dan's 100% right, that for many of our key role players on this team, the preseason and training camp are happening in through weeks one and week two. But, you know, it's all about timing. These guys are all coming together. And anybody with any eighth grade education knows, like, the offensive line issues were going to be there based on all the problems that we had this offseason. Nobody's making any grand that's a very obvious. We're going to struggle. And we probably will continue to struggle, unfortunately, with the guys that we have coming in and hoping that we can stay healthy in one of the toughest positions to stay healthy throughout the year.
Real quick, David, because I want to be respectful, but so what do the offensive line struggles have to do with Amari's drops?
That is a more to do with directly between the line and Watson, but you know, Watson and Amari need to also have some reps, some live game action reps, you know, to get their timing down as well. So I'm not blaming anything. Amari has a resume. All I've heard is love about Elijah Moore, who, let's be honest, like, he had a great game, but it's not like he's been with us for two games. We're very clear on what Elijah Moore is. We hope that he can be a key player, but the reality is there's some other guys in this team that we're really hoping to step up here to be significant players. I think Jerry Jeudy, I'd love for him to be a key part. So far, I like what I've seen, but there's been way too much love on those two guys. We know very well, I think we have a pretty good idea of Jerry Jeudy's resume, of Elijah Moore's resume, so it's kind of tough to listen to people besmirching Amari Cooper's play, given his resume and what we've seen through the course of his career.
David, I love the use of the word besmirch, and although we disagree, have a good day, buddy.
Thanks.
Here's where, listen, I get the resume thing here. Two guys are producing, the other isn't. That is a conversation. And to look at it, this is pretty wild here. Jerry Jeudy has 14 targets and 8 receptions. Elijah Moore, even with 4 drops, has 14 targets, 9 receptions. Amari has 17 targets and 5 receptions.
I would say both of those guys have had a good game and Amari Cooper hasn't. Because you look at their numbers, specifically all three of their numbers against Dallas, it's basically all three of them played the same game.
See, now in that specific game, we can look at that and
say. And then those two other guys had a good game against Jacksonville and Amari didn't. So we're really panicking about.
I don't think anybody's panicking. It's a conversation.
Fair. We're really talking. Better. We're really talking about Amari Cooper having a bad game against Jacksonville.
Did we just go through some sort of counseling? My grandpa gave me this great line that I use all the time on the show and off the show, where he and my grandma Penny found out that to help avoid fights, they will say to each other, "You may be right." And now again, that opens up wiggle room for "you may be wrong."
Sure, it
so
does.
I feel like, you know, Danny.
And then you can just say, "I do not recall."
Yeah. Oh, my God. Right? See? Learn from me, Danny. All right?
I'm trying here.
This is how you stay married to a woman that is so much better than I am, for the love of God. This is how. I do not recall, and you may be right.
Thank you.
So when it comes to me panicking about Amari, I do not recall. When it comes to the idea that Amari can work this out, you may be right.
I might be.
You and I were having the conversation because the only thing, and I know I started this. Yesterday, I was the one that put out the Twitter poll, would you rather face the Orioles or Astros in the ALDS? So how I perceive that conversation is, I think you can beat either team, but in baseball, you know as well as I do, matchups dictate your ability to win a championship or at least get to the World Series as much as anything.
Right, absolutely. That is something that matters, and it matters who's playing the best baseball at the right time, too. But so, you would prefer this Guardians team to go against an organization that has maybe a little bit of a lesser pitching staff, mm-hmm. considering what this lineup is. And, you know, if you have to face a tougher lineup, considering what the state of this bullpen is, I think that's a trade-off you might make.
Well, and but the one thing I don't like about it is it does get fear-based really quickly. Like, even the conversation about can they win the World Series gets a little cumbersome to me really quickly, because the answer is yes. Almost anybody that makes the playoffs now can. More often than not, it's going to be a big market team. I mean, Texas is not thought of that way. They are. Dallas is one
huge.
Of the top 10 markets in America. I actually think last time I checked, it might be top 5. So, like, but if you look at it, there is one of the best things about football is, one of the best things about baseball is.
That's sport too.
And football too, is we really haven't had any repeater champions outside of the Astros. So it's been the Dodgers have their year. The Nats have their year. The Braves have their year. The Astros come back around again. But so that's another thing that aids excitement there. But I was thinking more so, what would be the all-spite path to the World Series? Like, if I could guarantee you the Guardians were going to beat these three teams to win the World Series, what would be most satisfactory and honestly toughest to dispute historically?
So I think it might be a little bit different, toughest to dispute historically, because when you get to the end, I think the team changes. But I think in the ALDS, and you and I are going to operate here as if the Guardians do get a first-round bye, which they are in position to do, and it would be a very bad collapse if they don't clinch at least the top two seed.
Yep.
So we're going to go Houston in the ALDS. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there is some postseason history with those two teams. Back in 2018, the Astros swept the then Cleveland Indians. Houston has been to the ALCS, I believe it is 7 or 8 consecutive years. They are the most successful organization of this era, I think is probably the fairest way to say it. Cheating or no cheating, they've been more successful than anyone else. I think it's the Yankees in the ALCS because of who they are. I know they've not had the recent postseason success, having not won a World Series since 2009, which to them might as well be 1948 the way it is to us.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take that in mind, and the last great team that Cleveland had, in my opinion, was 2017. That team lost to the Yankees. The last time the Guardians made it into the ALDS, that team lost to the Yankees. So I think that's the path there in the American League. If you want to go like the most indisputable, I think you have to go with the Dodgers. But if you want to go the spiteful route, I think it's the New York Mets because of Francisco Lindor. And I don't think Lindor should be somebody that is not liked in this town, but because of the way things ended there, because the Guardians weren't willing to pay him, and truthfully, because he's been an MVP caliber guy this year for the Mets, and he is, I think, the biggest reason why, after, you know, when they were here in, I think it was May, that team just looked like they were in a complete tailspin and going nowhere. Francisco Lindor is a big reason why they're even in the playoff picture. So I think that's the answer. If you want to go most spiteful in the National League, the Mets are the answer there.
The only thing it would change is the Dodgers, because they are the evil empire.
I don't think they are. I think I don't think they are. I don't think people, and part of it's because they're on the West Coast. No one in Cleveland is staying up to watch Dodgers games when they're on nationally televised windows. I don't think people think of the Dodgers as evil. They've won one World Series since the 80s. I don't think people think of that.
Well, okay, but the Yankees were the evil empire, and they've won, what, one World Series in the last 20 years as well? That's more of a statement on baseball than it is on the Dodgers. I just look at any time a team can spend. Like, so for me, when I say the all-spite path to a ring, it is what is the ultimate amount of bleep you that comes to your heart, because the Dodgers really just symbolize what has been the excessive big market model in baseball. So and so being able to go from the Astros, who are the it team of the last 8 years, to the Yankees, who are the team that we have to hear about because there are a bunch of fans that are Yankees fans even from here, and then going to the Dodgers, the current evil empire, the team that spends 4-1 or sometimes 6-1 what the Guardians can spend. I don't know. Like, yeah, the Mets would be interesting, mostly because I'd love to see Steve Cohen cry. But man, I got to tell you, beating the Dodgers, being able to beat three major market teams would be salacious at absolute best there. I know we got to go, buddy, but again, where can people find you?
Real D Cunningham on Twitter.
And where will you be back next, or when will you be back, I guess is the right word?
Next Wednesday, next 2-4, you and I. It's going to be a blast.
You and I got a date on Wednesday,
yeah, baby.
Danny, great stuff, buddy.
Thanks for having me, man.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.